Ezra as Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. Tonight's learning, which for you is tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning's learning, is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Sivan, Harav Yosef. Tuesday's daf is daf Vav. We left off at the very top of Vav Amad Aleph at the words Rabbi Yehuda Omer on the fourth line. Now, we had learned in a Braisa yesterday that there's a difference between a field that has a body plowed in it versus a field that has a body lost in it. A field that has a body lost in it is Metami Tomas Ohel, but a field that has a body plowed in it is only Mago Amasa, and the rabbis allowed you to get down on your knees and blow the bones out of the way when you can't see exactly where they are, and you could assume that they're all gone. Now, in the end of the Braisa said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that it's always Metame Ohel. We always assume it is a field that that there was a body lost in it, meaning if it had a tziyun, if this field had a tziyun, it was demarcated as a field that had a body lost in it. You always assume it's a body lost and not a body plowed. Achi Hesham Zaken O Talmud, until you have an elderly rabbi or a Talmud Chacham who knows exactly what it was demarcated. And he could tell you, no, it was only for a field that was plowed, and therefore there's no Tumas Oel and you're allowed to blow the bones. If you're not a Talmud Chacham, you're not going to be an expert in the thing. Am Rabbi, hey, Shmami, no. We see from the words of Rabbi Yehuda, Tzuba Merabban and Dikba Masa, if you have a Talmud Chacham in the city, call Mili Demasa Alei Ramya. The Talmud Chacham is responsible for the enforcement of all of the laws of the city, and therefore only he can know whether this field was designated as a Sada She'avad Bokever or a Sada She'nechrash Bokever. Amar Yehuda, Matza Evan Mitsuyanis, let's say you didn't find the whole field that was demarcated, but you found a stone, a single big rock, that there was limestone placed on it. And the Mefarshim say the reason why they would use limestone, it's white. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, the reason they would use limestone, it's white because it reminds you of the bones of the mace. Isn't that interesting, right? You ever notice all headstones are like grayish white? So apparently the reason they are is because it's to remind you of the bones of the body. Anyway, Matzah Evan Mitzuyanis, if you find a rock with limestone on it, Tachteha Tamei. So underneath that rock alone is Tuma. Now, even though usually you have to place the demarcation a little bit far away, in the case of a rock, you don't have to put it far away because it's a big, seeable rock. You could see it from far away. People taking their Tuma and their Taros will be able to see it from far away. It's only if you make the demarcation, you'd see on the ground, you have to move it a little bit away from the area of the tumma, because maybe somebody will get too close to it and you'll already be on top of the dead body. But if it's on a stone, you're okay. Anyway, says the Gemara, so tachteha, under the stone itself, you assume it's tumma. Shtayim, but if there are two stones, let's say a few feet away from each other, so then under the two stones is tumma. However, im yesh sid b'neim, if there's limestone also in between the two stones, Beinehem Tameh. So then in between them is Tameh. Also, not only under the stones, but in between the stones. Ein Sid Beinehem, if there's no limestone in between them, Beinehem Tahar. So then only under the stones is Tameh, but in between them is Tahar. Ask the Gemara of Avogav Deleka Chorish. You mean to tell me that if there's no limestone in between the two stones, that in between them is tahar, even if it is not plowed? Vatanya, didn't we learn in a price against this? Mas evan ta achas mitsuyanis. If you find one stone with limestone on it that's demarcated as a tame stone, there's tum underneath it, tachteha tame. So underneath it, you assume it's tame. Shtayim, if you find two stones a few feet away from each other, im yesh choresh benem. So if in between them is plowed, so if it's plowed, obviously there's no body there, because the plowing got rid of the body, got rid of the stones. So then in between the two stones is tar. Of course, it's plowed. But it's not plowed. Then tameh, beneam tameh. If it's not plowed, you assume in between them is tameh, even if there's no limestone. So how come you're telling me that it's only tameh if there is limestone, but if there's no limestone, it's tar? From this price, you see, if it's not plowed, It is tummy even without limestone. Answer the Gemara, Amar of Papa, Hacha, Kishahasid Shafuch al Roshayim. Here, where we talk about that if it's not plowed, it's tummy, that's if you have the limestone poured on the two rocks and it's overflowing off the rocks. Umarunda lakana lakana. It flows off the rocks in between the two rocks. So the question is, was it placed there on purpose or did it just roll off the rocks by accident? So in that case, if it's plowed in between them, so then b'neim tar, clearly in between them is tar. Why? Maybe the reason why the limestone fell down off the stones, since you were plowing in between them and you're like pushing the rocks and you were plowing, so that's why the limestone fell off, and therefore it's tahar because you did not mean for the limestone to come down. Ve'ilo, however, if it was not plowed, so then the limestone that's between them is a siman that it's tameh because it was placed there bedafka. It didn't just roll off because of the plowing, it's placed bedafka. Ve'ilo, if it's not plowed, so then why is there limestone in between them? Must be placed at their dafka. Sid de beni beni hu v'tameh. So that's the way we put together the two brises. Amar Rav Asi. Meitzar echad mitzuyan. Let's say you have a field, and one boundary of the field is demarcated. One side, you have four sides to the field, only one side is demarcated with limestone, so hu tameh. So only that area of the field, underneath that boundary, is tameh. V'chol asadu kula tahora. But all of the rest of the field is tahar. Shnayim, if you have two boundaries of the field demarcated, heim tmein v'chol asadu kula tahora. So those two boundaries are tameh, and the rest of the field is tahar. Shlosha, same thing, heim tmein v'chol asadu kula tahora. Just the area underneath those three boundaries is tameh, and the rest of the field is tahar. However, harbo, if all four boundaries of the field are demarcated, hein tahorin, so underneath the boundaries themselves is tahar, because it just means to go in the field. V'chalas adekula tameh, and the entire field is tameh. Damar mar, because we learned earlier on Hamibayis, Henry in Rachid, Simakum Tomashol Lahafses Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to put a demarcation far away from the actual Tumah because you don't want to be Mafsid Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you have to put a demarcation on all four sides because if you wouldn't demarcate it, people are going to assume it's far away and they're going to be Mafsid even more. So that's why you had to delineate all four sides of the field. You assume what's inside it is Tumah, but the actual border itself is Tahar. Let's continue. We learned in the Mishnah, V'yotzin afal ha-kelayim. We send out shluchei bezdin to remove the kelayim from people's fields. Says Gemara, V'akelayim b'chol shemoin nafkinan. You mean to tell me that for kelayim, you go at the shluchei bezdin will go out on chol moed? Or Rimino will ask you a contradiction. B'echad ba'ador mashmin ala shkolim. We learned in the Mishnah in Shkolim that on the first day of Adar, they would call out to the towns to give the machzitz ha-shekel. Va'ala kelayim, there'd also be machers on the kelayim on the first day of Adar, because that's when people started to plant, so make sure you don't plant kelayim. Uvachamisha sabaro, and on the 15th of Adar, Koranes ha-Megillah, Bekarchem, we would read the Megillah in the walled cities, Yotzen l'kavis ha-Sadrachem, and we would go out to get rid of the thorns from the roadways. Lusakin herchovos, and to fix the roads that got mixed up throughout the winter, the potholes. V'lomud ha-Mikvos, and to measure the mikvahs. You're allowed to do anything for the rabbim. And you would pour limestone on the graves. V'yotzin ala kilayim. On the 15th of Adar, they would send the shluchei bezin out to get rid of the kilayim in the fields. So how could you tell me the kilayim was on Cholom Oed, Pesach, which was on the 16th or 17th of Nisan? What do you mean? Here you see they already went a month earlier on the 15th of Adar. Answer the Gemara. Blazer Rabbi Yosef Rechina, each give an answer. Chad Amar, Kan Bebochir, Kan Be'afil. The Bryce, the Mishnah that says they would go out earlier on the 15th of Adar, that's by the early growing plants. The Kan Be'afil, and the one that says they would go out on Cholomoy, which is a month later, that was in the later growing plants. That's one answer. V'chad Amar, Kan Be'zroim, V'chan Be'irakos. That the wheat was planted earlier, so if there was kelayim in the wheat, they would send the shluchim out on the 15th of Adar. V'kan bi rokos, but the vegetables were planted later. You needed warmer weather to plant the vegetables, so they weren't growing yet by the 15th of Adar. So they would send the shluchim out again on Chol HaMoed Pesach to uproot the kilayim from the vegetables. Amar Rabbi Amir Rabbi Yoch, Amar Rabbi Asim Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shano Ela She'in Nitza Nikar. This whole story that they would send out the shluchim to uproot the kilayim on the 15th of Adar or on Chol HaMoed Pesach in Nisan, that's only if the fruit wasn't clearly recognizable, the fruit didn't sprout earlier than this. Aval Nitza Nikar, but if you could already tell the fruit from before the 15th of Adar, Yotzin Aleihen, they would go out even earlier. As soon as you could tell that the fruit is kilayim, they would send the shluchim bezin out there. Now, why did they specifically choose Chol HaMoed to send out the Shluchei Bezin to get rid of the Kalaim? The reason is because you had to pay these guys, and since they were off from work anyway on Chol HaMoed, they would charge a cheaper rate. They didn't have to miss work to do this. They were off anyway, so it was a cheaper rate. So therefore, we wanted to charge less money to Hektish. Am Rav Zvid v'yitem Rav Misharshia. Shema Amina, we see from this, ki avinu l'uschar, who pays for the shluchim, mitrumas halishki avinu, we pay from the Beis HaMikdash's funds. You might have thought that the owners of the field have to pay for the shluchim bezin who are going to uproot their kilayim, because they're providing a service for them, so you might have thought they have to pay for it. Mayinaf galam minayu. So who cares that we're going to pay more money? It's not Hektish's money, they should pay for kol kama deboi litin lu. The owners will give, we'll hire the workers for whatever money it is. We're not saving money from the Beis HaMikdash. Adarabba, we should punish them for having kalayim in their fields. We should jack up the price. So it must be that we pay from public funds, and that's why we're trying to get a cheaper price. And that's why we send them out of Chol HaMoed when they're off from work anyway. So we get the cheaper price. Says the Gemara, Ad Kama, how much do you have to limit the kilayim in order that it should be considered to be kilayim? Like we learned in the Mishnah Kilayim, kol sa'a, if you have a sa'a of seed, sheyesh ba rova, if you have a quarter of a kav, zera mimin acher, if you have a sa'a of seed that has a quarter of a kav of a plant of seed from a different type, yima'it, you got to lessen it so that it's less than a quarter of a kav. Sounds like, but as long as you lessen it, that it's less than a quarter of a kav, it's okay. So this is a big machlokas harishonim. So Rashi seems to say just lessen it. That's a simple pshat. The Rambam says that way as well, and the Ravid and other rishonim say that, well, that's some pshat in the Gemara. That a field that has kalayim, you don't have to get rid of all the kalayim. Just make it less than a quarter of a kav for each so. However, Tosfos, on Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschil, Sheyesh, the bottom Tosfos on Vav Amud Aleph, Pirish Kishirotza Luzroa, Taktani Sefer Rabbi Yossi Omer Yavir Yavor V'Halo Shayach Ben Nizra Kfar. So he says you got to get rid of all of it. So Tosfos says no. Tosfos and Tosfos Arush say, other Rishonim say no. The shear of a Rova HaKav for a Sa, that's for a person who's starting out to plant such a thing. He's allowed to plant less than a rov hakav, but once it grew on its own, and you have more than that, and now you got to rip it out, you got to rip out everything. And the Tosfos Rashi explains, once you start to get rid of it, if you leave some there, it looks like you're being mekayim kilayim, even though it's less than the shear. Now, what's pshat in the Gemara according to this shita? So according to them, you have to explain what the Gemara means, ad kama, what's the shear of kilayim that there needs to be in the field in order to send out the shluchei bezin in the first place to uproot all of it. And the Gemara says, just like a guy who's coming to plant, if there's a quarter of a kaf or a sa, he's got to get rid of it. Meaning, before he plants, he's got to make sure that he's not planting enough that it's kilayim. So too, once the field has kilayim, the shear that you have to go out and rip it up is if it's more than a quarter of a kaf. But once you find that quarter of a kaf, you got to uproot everything. So that's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Ask the Gemara. Tanya, didn't we learn a brisa hiskinu sheyehu mafkirin kol hasadeh kula? What do you mean they would uproot just the kilayim? They would make the whole field hefker if they find them. Because you know we already announced on the first of Adar, get rid of the shatness. You didn't listen, so we send out the shluchim to get rid of it. So we penalize you. We make the whole field hefker, not just the one min. Yeah, before they made the takana to be mafkir all the field, they would just get rid of the shatness. But afterwards, they would be mafkir the whole field to Sanya. Parishona hayu okrin. Originally, the shluchei bezin would just uproot the kalayim, umashlichon lefnei behemtan, and they would throw the kalayim in front of the animals of the bali batim. Hayu bali batim smeichan shtei smachos. And the bali batim were happy with this. We're trying to punish them, but they were happy. Achas shemenachshon lehem sadoseim. First of all, we're taking out the bad stuff from their fields. We're making their fields grow better by taking out the shanis. We're feeding their animals. So the rabbis made one takana that you should uproot the kelaim and throw it in the roads. And people would trample them so they couldn't be used by the animals. Okay, but they were still happy that you were weeding their fields by taking out the shanis. So then they made another takana that they would make the entire field hefker. Now, if they were making the entire field hefker, why do you have to send shluchim out? What were they doing? Just make it hefker. And you don't have to pay them for uprooting the kelayim. So you don't have to worry about schar muat because they're not even doing any malacha. So therefore, after the takana, they would go out on Chol HaMoed, even though we didn't need them, we didn't have to pay them anymore. They would still go out on Chol HaMoed, even though we didn't have to pay them anymore, because they weren't uprooting the kelayim; they were just making the whole thing hefka. But then we just kept up the old minig anyway. So says the Karen Or, and within the opinion of the Rama. However, the Sfasemis writes that we could answer, even though it's a difficult answer, that after the takana they would go on a Chol HaMoed because they just wanted to keep the takana the way it was before the takana. The Birkei Yosef doesn't like those answers. Other Achronim give different answers. After the takana they were mafkir the fields, so the schar was that they would get the fruit that they made hefker. Even though if they wouldn't find kelayim, they wouldn't take anything. Nevertheless, people would agree to go into the doubt, to go take the job, because maybe they'll find fruit. Okay, let's continue. Next Mishnah. Let's continue with the next Mishnah. So, we had learned earlier that you are allowed to water on Chol HaMoed a field that needs to be watered, a Beis HaShalchem, because you're preventing loss of money. However, you're not allowed to water a Beis HaBaal, which is a field that grows only on rainwater, because that's just making it better, but that's not removed. You're not going to lose any money from that. According to Rav Meir, you're even allowed to water a Beis HaBaal. So our Mishnah continues. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Moshchen Esamayim Meilan Leilan. Even if it's a Beis HaBaal, which doesn't need water, but the trees do need water. So if you have water under one tree, you're allowed to dig a channel so that the water goes from one tree to the other tree, because that's a hefsid. You're going to lose money if the tree doesn't get water. Eventually, Yashkas Kol Asada, but you're not allowed to make the water go into the whole field, because that's a Beis HaBaal. That's one halacha. Zroim Shalosh Arsul Lufnei HaMoed, if you have certain plants that you didn't used to water them before Yantif Lo Yashkim Moed, so you're not allowed to water them in Chol HaMoed. They're going to grow without the water. You never used to water them. The Chacham say both of these halachas are mutter. You are allowed to feed water the entire Beis HaBaal, and you're even allowed to water plants that you did not water before Chol HaMoed, because the Chacham hold that the rabbis permitted on Chol HaMoed not only watering that was you're going to lose money, but even watering that would benefit you. The rabbis permitted that as well, and here it's going to make it grow faster. So therefore, even though you didn't used to give water to this, you're allowed to water it on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Im Haisa Sada Mitunenes, if it used to be a very moist field and it got dried out, even though it was a Beis HaBaal, Mutter, you're allowed to water on Chol HaMoed because you're going to lose money. Taina Nachi Kisha Amru Asalashkos Mod, when the rabbi said you're not allowed to water plants on Chol HaMoed, Lo Amar Ela Bezorim Shalosh Shasu, that's only plants that you did not use to water them before. In Milf Nehemoed, Avalzorim Shasal Nehemoed, but plants that you used to water beforehand, Motalashkos Mod, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed because you're going to lose money. Vim Paisa Sadim Tunenes, and if it was a field that used to be moist and now is dried out, Mutter. So then everyone agrees you are allowed to water on a Chol HaMoed so that you don't lose money. So So we see from here that Rav Yehuda is correct, that according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you're allowed to water these plants. Ve'in mashkin stay gurried. If you have a field that's always dried out, moed, so you're not allowed to water it, because even when it's dried out, it still functions. The Chachamim say no. You're permitted both plants that you didn't water before Yontif and a dried out field. Both of them, you are since you're improving the quality by watering it. The Chachamim say, even though you're not losing, you're allowed to water it because you're improving the quality. Amar Ravin Shmami, no, we could see from this Halach going to Chachamim that you're allowed to water a dried out field. Hai Tarbitza, a vegetable garden, even though it's not going to hurt, it's not going to damage it if you don't water it. Charlotte Tabuza Bechol de Moadi, you're allowed to water on Chol HaMoed. Stay guarded, my time of why you're allowed to water a dried out field. Aflamash lechafra, because the slow-growing plants, by watering them, you're going to make them grow faster. Hachanami aflamash lechafra. So to buy the vegetable garden, even though it doesn't need the water, but by watering it, you're going to make it grow faster. The Chachamim say that's good enough. Tana Rabban, marbitzim stay loven b'shvius. You are allowed to water a stay loven during the Shemitah. A field that doesn't need the rainwater, you're allowed to water it during Shemitah. Avalo b'moed, but not a chalamoid. Ask marbatana, marbitzim be b'moed b'shvius. Didn't we learn that you are allowed? We learned in the Brisa you are allowed to water it both on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. Amar Rav Huna Kasha. Ha Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the one who forbids it, is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Ha Rabbanan, we just said the Rabbanan say that even not just to prevent loss, but even to make it grow better, you're allowed to water it on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. Tanya Idach, we learned in another Brisa, Amar Bitnes Dei Lavan Erev Shvius. You are allowed to water the wheat fields, which don't need you to water them. They just exist on rainwater. Before Shemitah, Kadesh Yitzirak is Bishvius, so that it should grow during the Shemitah. But Lohadash, when reads inside the Lom Bishvius, you're even allowed to water a wheat field during the Shemitah, Kadesh Yitzirak is Lomotsai Shvius, so that the stuff will grow after Shemitah. And the last Mishnah on the page. Sadin is Aishus, you are allowed to trap a certain type of small animal. I think the Gemara is going to say it's like an owl. We'll see. Sadin is Aishus, Vesach, but you're allowed to trap these animals that used to ruin the fields. So you're allowed to trap an owl, v'sachbarim, the rats, the mice, mistei ha'ilan, umistei ha'lavan, kidarko. You're allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed to protect the field. B'moed, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed because if these animals ruin your field, you're going to lose money. V'ubishriyas, you're allowed to do this on Shemitah. V'chachamim omrim, mistei ha'lavan, ha'ilan, kidarko. From a fruit tree, a field of fruit trees, so that's going to cause you to lose money. So you can trap them normally. Stay halavan shalokadarko. You can only do it with a shina, because you're not really going to lose money. So the rabbi is only permitted with a shina. Umekaren es hapirza. If let's say you have a fence around your field to protect the field from animals, but it develops a pirza, it develops an opening in the fence. You're allowed to fix the fence on a Chol HaMoed b'moed. Uveshvius bona kadarka. On Shemitah, you're even allowed to build it lechatchila. Even though it looks like you're watching the fruits, no, you're just watching the ground. It says the Gemara, my ishus, what kind of animal is this? Amar Rav Yehuda, bariyash ein la'inayin. It's a type of animal that doesn't have eyes. I think that's tinshames. I assume that's an owl, but I don't have my art school here in Israel. I think it's an owl. Or a bat. Yeah, probably more like a bat. It doesn't have eyes. Right? A bat. Amar Rav, yeah, that's probably a better translation. Amar Rav Bar Yishmael, V'itema Rav Yemer Vashamia, Mikra. How do we know from a pasuk that a bat doesn't have eyes? It's hinted to us that it's talking about an animal that has eyes. The Ksiv Pasuk in Tehillim says, Kamo Shavul Tomas Yaloch, Nefil Ashes Balchazu Shemesh. They don't see the like a bat, a flying animal, doesn't see the sun. Just like when it comes out and it walks on the ground. So this juice comes out of it and causing it to die. So too the bat doesn't see the sun. Sometimes it just falls down and dies. So we see the Ishus is called Ashes. It doesn't see because it doesn't have eyes. It says the Gemara, Tanarban, Sadin is Aishus, you're allowed to trap the bats, that's achbarim, the rats, misteha lavan, umisteha ilan kedarko, from both fields. Umachriven chorin amom. You're also allowed to destroy holes of ants, because they destroy the field. Ketzad machriven, how do you destroy the ant holes? You take dirt from one hole and put it in the other hole, and the hain and the ants can't stand this. So the ants can't stand the new dirt that's not from their hole, they're not used to it, and they kill each other out. It's got to be you take dirt from two sides of the river so the ant is uncomfortable with the new dirt. It's got to be that there's no bridge that goes over the river, because then the ants can go over the bridge. There's not even one small skinny board. V'hu d'lek ha-mitzra. Even one small little board, or even rope, even a rope. So then they'd be able to go from one side to the other. Ask the Gemara, ad kama, how far away do they have to be from each other? You went on two sides of the river, ad parsa. You assume that the ants would travel up until it's got to be more than a parsa away, so the ants can't get to it. But if it's less than a parsa away, even if it's the two sides of the river, somehow the ants are familiar with the dirt, and it's not going to help you to bring dirt from there to there, because the ants are familiar with that dirt. So it's got to be more than a parsa away. We will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful night. Now, I will tell you, gentlemen, that I'm going to try to aim to give Wednesday morning's daf in person at 7:05 in BMW. Wednesday morning and Thursday morning, the daf will be in person, hopefully, 7:05 at BMW. Everyone should have a wonderful day.